the Dronacharya, but he's a demigod, a particular demigod, one of the Vasus. So, how does it work? So the way it works is that, and just as when Krishna comes in his original form, we discussed some days ago how all the other forms come and they amalgamate in Krishna. So when Krishna comes to this planet and the original associate comes from Goloka, then the expanded forms of the associate merge into the original form who is now appearing on earth with the original Krishna. So then, you know, this idea of how is Nanda, Drona, and what is the relationship, that is explained. That when it comes time for Krishna to appear in his original form, so Nanda Maharaj will also appear in his original form. So then, doesn't mention, does it? No. Who he is in Vaikuntha, but anyway, amongst the demigods he's Drona. He's somebody also in Vaikuntha. But anyway, when it comes time for the original Krishna to descend, and the original Nanda is coming with him, then there is some special arrangement made for Drona to get a special blessing from Lord Brahma that he can become a perfect devotee. So this happened. This Drona, he got a benediction from Lord Brahma, and it was arranged to happen like this, that he could become perfect. Then, on the strength of that blessing, that Drona merged with the original Nanda when the original Nanda appeared, and thus got the opportunity to join in the pastimes of Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami says this also reconciles the question, or the account at least, accounts we hear of Radharani, of different things happening to Radharani in different Puranas, and you know, as a result of these different things she ended up here. Yeah. Of course, when the original Krishna comes, the original Radharani most certainly comes, and that is that. Yes. Her coming is not dependent on anything else. But where there may be some expansions of Radharani, who would then merge into the original Radharani, then there's some special arrangement made. Some special pastime, just like Drona, he gets a special blessing. So there could be a special anything, a special curse, just some special arrangement, whatever it is. And then the expanded person merges with the original Radharani. Yeah. So this is there with these avatars of the, and they're called avatars, the avatars of the eternal associates. Mother Ratira Manjari. They expand, see, it depends who they are, but in many cases, well, there are four main levels of expansion or existence. First is with the original, then Vaikuntha, then amongst the demigods, then amongst the humans. In the case of the very advanced, prominent eternal associates, they always appear wherever the Lord appears. Yes, they'll always appear. What was your question though, sorry? Yeah. They merge. You know, we heard that when Krishna appears, sometimes Vaikuntha becomes vacant. You cannot find certain persons. And Narada said, he just leaves us alone. So therefore, we can take it from that, that some of these other personalities would be missing also, because they merged. Yeah. Anyway, don't ask a question like that. But this is the principle. This is how it's working somehow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it says here, this explanation also reconciles the account in Padma Purana's Kartik Mahatmya of Sri Radha's previous life and her incarnation on the earth. We can understand that she was attracted to descend from Goloka for the service of her worshipable Lord, who is more attractive than millions of Cupids, and she therefore found some pretext to bring her partial expansion with her to take birth in Vrajabhumi. Yeah. Okay, then just a little brief description about the extraordinary love of the inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavan, and particularly the gopis, for Krishna. So, Sarup explains that in Goloka, everyone is convinced that they are the most dear to Krishna. Yes, Krishna loves me more than anyone else. You might think this could give rise to pride. It doesn't. Because still, even though they're feeling like that, their desire to please Krishna is so strong that they never feel satisfied. And that dissatisfaction, along with separation, occasional separation, gives birth to their humility. You remember that? That on the level of prema, separation is the mother of their humility. So they are just incredibly humble. But that is a mood which arises when they're in separation as a factor or part or result of being separated from Krishna. And it grows stronger and stronger. Particularly though, it is obvious that Krishna loves the gopis more than anyone else. And Sarup says there are three things which Krishna does, which display his extra love for the gopis. One is just an emotional display, feeling, preeti, feelings, emotions of affection, preeti, or emotions of love. Second is kripa, that he gives them more mercy, which is the manifest form of that love, beyond just emotion. And asakti, his attachment, or very tangible terms, his dedication to them, his willingness to do anything for them, his showing special favor to them. So therefore Sarup makes the point that therefore it can be seen that Krishna loves them more than anyone else, and that they love him more. But still, amongst the gopis, none of them think that they love him. In fact, they're thinking, when will I become the lowest maidservant of Krishna? When will that day come? And Sarup says, the exalted nature of this fathomless, deep love is so profound, it cannot be understood even by the greatest sages. So that's a bit of philosophy for today. Most of what follows is rather devastating stories. Two in particular. There are three, but there's two in particular. First is, well, actually these stories are not just stories, of course. They are demonstrations of the philosophy. They're going to demonstrate about the love. In that way, they're going to show how special the place is and how special the inhabitants of the place are. And in this way, Goloka is going to be established. And the inhabitants of Goloka are going to be established as the greatest. So the first is the Kaliya Leela. There are two pastimes in which separation reaches, you know, unimaginable, sort of death-defying proportions. One is the Kaliya Leela, and one is the Leela of Krishna leaving Vrindavan. So to illustrate the fact that the inhabitants of Goloka love Krishna more than anyone else loves Krishna, and therefore their place is the greatest of all the places. So now Sarup is going to tell us these two stories with some vivid detail. Yes. So one day Krishna heard that Kaliya was there in the lake and was poisoning everything, and it was very bad. So he climbed one kadamba tree, dived in with a mighty splash, which sent the water out of the lake around all the sides, the distance of 100 bow lengths. We are not so much familiar with using bows, but I guess they're a couple of meters long or something like that. So it means for a couple of hundred meters all the way round, there were these waves. The water just got thrown out, as, you know, when something makes a big splash, water gets thrown to the sides. So this happened. Krishna, first of all, just enjoyed splashing around. He just splashed around. But then out of curiosity, he went over to Kaliya just to see what his coils were like, and he allowed himself to be grabbed by Kaliya. So his friends saw this, the cowherd boys, and that apparently Krishna was not exhibiting signs of life, and they became totally overwhelmed. It has been mentioned already that previously, just when they were walking through the forest and he would walk behind one tree. You know, just if we're walking through the car park, you walk behind a tree, so someone who's on the other side will not see you for 2 seconds or something like that. So Krishna would also walk behind a tree, not hide, but just pass behind the tree. And the cowherd boys They were not watching anything other than Krishna. He would go behind a tree. They wouldn't see him for, you know, like that long. But they would almost die. You can see they're very advanced. They're much more advanced than us. It's just another dimension. Way different from us. So, they became overwhelmed. Then suddenly, all the animals came. All the cows, bulls, calves, and all the forest animals. Somehow they all came, crying terribly, their eyes fixed on Krishna. The birds came, they were flying over the lake until they became exhausted, and they just fell into the lake. And all the vegetation dried up. Inauspicious omens appeared. Then it's described, Krishna inspired one old man who happened to be in the area. He inspired him through the heart to go running back into the village and tell everyone. So this old man came running back crying, alas, alas, great disaster. Now there are already inauspicious omens. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan had already assumed that something was wrong with Krishna. So they were already running around here and there. And then this man came and told them that Krishna had been caught by Kaliya. So Lord Balaram, he understood that it wasn't really that serious. Krishna's just having a pastime. But he didn't want to tell the inhabitants of Vrindavan, just don't worry, it's okay. Out of respect for them, he didn't want to interrupt their mood of ecstasy and separation. But initially, Lord Balaram, as the inhabitants of Vrindavan started running towards the Yamuna, Lord Balaram ran in front of them and said, it's a lie. It's a lie. But no one listened to him. The only one who listened to him was Rohini. Well, first of all, do you know how come Balaram was there? Yes, it was his birthday. His pastime takes place on the appearance day of Lord Balaram. So therefore he was at home having a birthday party with his mother. So she was the only one he could stop. There's some special connection between the two of them, of course. So she stayed home to prepare lunch, and everyone else became like running corpses. So, arriving at the lake, Lord Balaram saw Krishna and somehow became influenced by Yogamaya himself and forgot that it was just a pastime and that it was okay. And he also broke down in the distress of love. And he lamented. Balaram lamented in such ways that it would shatter logs and stones. Yes. And for a moment he fainted, as Nanda and Yashoda had already done. Then all the living beings let out an overwhelming, frightful roar, making the entire universe cry in pain in response. And this woke up Lord Balaram. So again, he came to his senses and steadied himself to see what he could do to help. And he saw that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're running into the river to join Krishna, or maybe to try to save him, or to be with him at least. But it's very dangerous. So Lord Balaram was stopping them. Sometimes he was shouting out to stop them. Sometimes he was glancing at them to stop them. Sometimes he was physically stopping them. But then they were more and more going in more and more quickly. Eventually Balaram came to the point he couldn't run back and forth and stop them. And they were all just going to go in and die. So Lord Balaram became overwhelmed, seeing everyone as if living dead. So he called out to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, these are not your associates who live in Vaikuntha. They're not the forest monkeys, nor the Yadavas. These are your devotees of Goloka, whose only life is you. They're dying, my Lord, and there's nothing I can do to save them. Before these devotees give up their life ears, please abandon this pastime, O most merciful one. Otherwise, dear Krishna, only friend of the cowherds, whose nature is so gentle, your heart will become filled with grief. Even though they have eternal spiritual bodies, Lord Balaram feels they're going to die. So, the gopis were crying and fainting, the limbs of their bodies in terrible pain, their hearts shattered by sorrow, they began to enter the lake to be with Krishna. They had arrived later because they were fainting more as they were coming. Therefore, they arrived later. They just arrived now, actually. Yes. Took them longer to get there due to fainting more. So anyway, they started entering the lake. But then Krishna suddenly released himself from the grip of Kaliya, jumped up on his Kaliya's 1,000 hoods, called the gopis. They had a huge rasa dance and completely smashed Kaliya's heads, wow, until he was just totally devastated. Nanda Maharaj and the others were too slow to recover from their shock to see this, so they missed it. And the next thing they saw was when Krishna was getting back off on the land, off the heads of Kaliya, when Kaliya had surrendered. Yes. So Krishna took the shawls of the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, made a rope from it, put it through the noses of Kaliya with his left hand, and then rode on Kaliya like a horse while playing his flute with his right hand. From time to time, he goaded him with his flute, and in this way showed Kaliya great mercy. So then Krishna came out and got down from Kaliya, who was now very happy. He exiled Kaliya and was reunited with the devotees. So in this pastime, There's more, I mean, there's detail like in the Bhagavatam about the devastation of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It's described there, Sanatana Goswami describes in his purports and other of the acharyas, how they were fainting, bang, and then getting up and fainting, bang. And it's described that it was just like if there's a lightning storm, a dead tree may be struck and stand up and just fall down. So like that, they would just stand up and fall down. And anyway, very, very devastating. Even though they had spiritual bodies, it seemed like they would die. So then, a few days later, Keshi and Aristasura came together. Yes, they came simultaneously. Keshi is the horse, Aristasura is a bull. So first of all, Krishna kicked Keshi away. Then he grabbed the bull, tied him up, and took him to Gopeshwar Shiva. Gopeshwar Shiva is in town. Because Gopeshwar Shiva does not have Nandi with him. If you've ever looked there, he is one form of Lord Shiva who does not have Nandi. So he got Arishtasura. Has become his Nandi. The horse came back, but Krishna tamed him and rode him and taught him a number of clever movements, all different tricks, horse tricks. So Krishna kept Keshi so that his friends could have horse rides, and he kept Arishtasura so he could be Nandi for Gopeshwar Shiva, and also for pulling carts sometimes when the devotees wanted to go on joy rides. Yes. Then finally, Krishna leaves Vrindavan. This is a very amazing description. There are, let me just tell you some of the little sections. First of all, Akrura arrives in Vrindavan and convinces Nanda Maharaj to let him take Krishna to Mathura. Then the gopis become distressed. Then Akrura appeals to everyone to allow Krishna to go. But the gopis curse him, or strongly rebuke him, put it that way. Then the gopis appeal to Krishna personally not to go. And then there is the terrible scene when Krishna finally leaves Vrindavan. Then Krishna has pastimes in Mathura, and Nanda Maharaj returns to Vrindavan without Krishna. And then there's a special bit, we'll tell you about that when we get to it. This is in Goloka. So, Sanatana Goswami says that at the time that Krishna left Vrindavan, if even stones, logs, and other inert objects from other places, not Brijbasi stones or Brijbasi trees or other, you know, like hills, like not Govardhan Hill, but stones and logs and other inert, inanimate objects from other places, anywhere, maybe in Russia, yes, or, you know, wherever it might be, France, or even South Africa. If even stones, logs, and other inert objects from other places hear what happened in Vraja at that time, they would begin crying and shatter into pieces. Yes. So one day Akrura came on Kamsa's order to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. He came in the afternoon and stayed overnight, wanting to leave and take them in the morning. So all night the Brijbasis simply cried and fainted. Mother Yashoda kept hiding Krishna behind her clothes and constantly